men at the end of their strings. After the cars carefully search for and lurch into their parking spots, and the extra pants are packed in case of a wave's sneak attack, the blankets are tugged out from under coolers, stuffed with drinks and sandwiches and little plastic sleeves of condiments. We are families on the way to the winter beach, toting soccer balls to launch through driftwood goals, frisbees that hover like some day-glow latter-day vultures waiting for a feast. We stalk the huge gulls as though they are mastodons in the sand. We surround and suddenly rush to invoke prehistoric panic. They lift and criticize our silly gravitational habit. Nigel is going thin at the top, and I am going soft in the middle. My son's foot marks a print larger than mine. Nigel's bests him in the rite of passage race. The kids collect feathers, dig up mussel shells, study the crab's broken husks hidden in the sea rack. Where there's sandflies, sure as hell there stink. Finally, we pose together in front of the sand castle's ruins. But before we leave, we fly the kites. The shark face in the sky scorns the kids' persistence, and soon they lose interest. Once again, Nigel and I tend the nagging little presence on the end, wondering what it might have been like to live on the margins in Bolinas, run an antique shop in Sonoma, become the Sebastopol fortune teller. Something binds us to this moment, something we might call quiet dignity, or something the soul of the wind has summoned. Up ahead of us are the kids trying to roll a waterlogged trunk into the sea. One, two, three, and they all heave at once, while Nigel urges, "Push, lads, push!"